It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I am Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hello.
It's the first Cut Forecast of 2018.
It is. It's so exciting.
Can you believe that it's 2018? I know that, like, this joke is, like, kind of old at this point, but, like, it's 2018. Imagine telling yourself.
I know.
You're going to see 2018, and it'll be pretty much like all the other years. Not really going to look.
Wow, taking all the wonder out of it. I mean, if you had told me, like, 10 years ago, not 10 years ago, I guess when I was a kid, like in elementary school or something, like, oh, get ready for 2018. You're going to have a smartphone that will listen to you when you talk to it. You can basically find anything you've ever wanted to know in 13 seconds on said phone.
Yeah.
You're going to live in the same apartment for 8 years straight. That would be crazy.
Well, it is fun. I reread The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy a few weeks ago or a month ago or something like that. And I was like, this is real now. This is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody carries this with them. We also are joined on the first Cut Forecast of 2018 by the former senior LA bureau chief of Cut 4, now the current, I don't know, Stamford, Connecticut bureau chief. I'm not really sure where he is. Michael Clare.
Well, you know, as long as I can hold on to a senior title, I guess that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah.
I'm someone who's just, like, really into titles, and so ever since, you know, Adrian got senior LA, I was just like, well, that's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, it took a lot of initiative to go set up an office of your own in the middle of Connecticut, so I think that that's impressive, and we at Cut 4 are certainly keeping an eye on your development very closely. We have a lot to get to today, in addition to me condescending to Claire. We are going to discuss who is having the most fun offseason right now. I said this to the two of them, but spoiler alert, it's not us, because nothing's really happening right now. Everybody's waiting for each other. It's all very stressful. We'll also discuss the Bryce Harper game night, which is a real thing that happened that we sadly were not invited to. And then we will bring it home by discussing what else? Star Wars The Last Jedi. But it wasn't just us who saw Star Wars The Last Jedi. It was also Sean Doolittle who saw Star Wars The Last Jedi. And he wrote a review for a little website called Cut 4 that you can go read. And we'll discuss his review as well as our impressions on, I would say, the greatest film of the last 30 years.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
But before we get to all of that, it's the beginning of the year. It's the first Cut Forecast of the year, and you know what that means. It's time to play a little Nostradamus. It's time to make some predictions. There's a podcast I listen to about theme parks. They call their segment Coasterdamus. I don't have a pun like that. So we're just Nostradamus for baseball. But
creative,
very creative. So my question to the two of you is, what is the most outlandish prediction you can come up with for 2018? And you can have more than one. I have a whole list here. I'll actually give the first one.
Okay.
And this was my first one. Gemma will win the NL Cy Young Award.
Wow, that's quite outlandish.
That's pretty outlandish.
Considering I can throw at most, at like the highest, at most, like 41 miles an hour.
I think you got it. I think you got it. We're talking about Jamie Moyer's on the Hall of Fame ballot. Anything's possible.
Dakota, can you give us a coaster prediction as well? I didn't even know that there were theme park podcasts, so I very much want a coaster Domus.
Of course,
right
there's a theme park, but there's a podcast about literally anything.
That's true.
Any niche interest, there's a podcast for it. I don't really have any. Cedar Point is opening a roller coaster called Steel Vengeance, and it will be good. That's my prediction. It's not a very bold. Steel Vengeance.
Oh,
that's for the nerdiest.
Steven Seagal in that movie.
Yeah, I would see that movie. Claire, give me one of your craziest predictions. Give me one.
All right,
fire away.
Yeah, I've got a bunch. I think the most important one is that Dietrich Ent is actually going to be the secret weapon for the Twins. And what's great is, while the team is actually like looking to pivot towards like more hard throwers, Enz's biggest skill is his like changeup. So while everyone's like, oh yeah, like they got Berrios, like they got hard throwers now, they just signed Zach Dude. Zach Dude's not a hard thrower, but that's very exciting for me. It's going to be the fact that it's like the throwback style Twins pitcher that they got from the Yankees when they traded Jaime Garcia for the second time in like a week, when they're like, we're not going to the playoffs, we're going to the playoffs. It's going to be Dietrich Ent that leads them to glory this year.
I mean, if we're pivoting to hard throwers, the official policy of cut four, of the cut four cast is that you pivot to Verlander.
Yes, of course.
That was not just a 2017 phenomenon.
That's a lifelong choice.
I also know that you have like a deep love of Dietrich Enns. And you've been attempting to write about him multiple times on the website. So I hope for your sake that this prediction comes true.
Well, what's great, too, is you can call him Dietrich. You know, you can talk about his tricks. And then you can also spell burnt end sandwich called the end, like the burnt ends sandwich in the park. So this is a money-making venture right here.
Everybody knows that Minnesota is famous for its barbecue.
Yeah, my favorite part of the offseason is actually when Claire decides which teams and players he's going to really, really just commit to for the next season.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because sometimes he's really right. And sometimes it's still the Padres.
Okay, yeah, we're going to derail this conversation for a second. Claire has a tradition where every year he picks the most absurd possible team. And he comes up to Gemini and he's like, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, this team is great. And you should watch out because they have postseason magic on their side. And then every time it's like, well, no, this is the Padres.
Well, what was fun the Phillies. About last year, though, is that, Claire, you were pretty in on the Brewers. And there was a lot of time where the Brewers were an extremely fun team to watch. And you were kind of right. And that either they're just going to be just a mess or they're going to hit a ton of dingers. And they did. So,
and he was a year early on the Rockies.
Yeah.
No, I was a year early on the D-backs. I got the Rockies and the Brewers.
Yes, that is correct. Got the Rockies and the Brewers, yeah.
If you want this year's pick, it's the Oakland Athletics.
Oh.
Now, my only hesitation on saying they're not going to make the playoffs, because I think they're going to be good enough, it's just that I think the AL West is the hardest division in baseball now. The Angels have Trout, Ohtani, Cozart, Simmons, Pujols with whatever he does when he plays. The Astros are amazing. I think the Rangers are going to have a bounce back year. Jerry Depoto is going to trade with everybody. So the Mariners, even if they're just a halfway decent team, are definitely not going to fall apart. But you've got Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Chris Davis. So you got the dingers there. I think the rotation, though, is where the real strength is. Daniel Mangan, he's got the mustache and this weird double pump delivery that I think is super cool. Jarrell Cotton's going to break out. Kendall Graveman. Andrew Triggs, who has the weird, like, three-quarters, not really three-quarters arm slot. And then you just wait. Yes, Miro Petit is going to be the deal of the offseason. 2 years, $10 million. He is going to be the multi-inning swing man, Andrew Miller, for, like, a fraction of the price. The A's are going to be so exciting.
Is this year two or three of you predicting the Jarrell Cotton breakout?
Year two.
Okay.
Jarrell Cotton, yeah.
I thought you were just going to ask him if he was describing his own, like, his own franchise that he's created.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Claire owns all of these teams.
Yeah.
With the love he speaks of all of them. Gemma, give me one of your crazy predictions.
Well, let's talk about the Angels for
a little
bit.
Let's talk about
them. Because now a bunch of former Tigers are on the Angels as, you know.
The Angles.
Yes, the Angles.
That's how I call them.
And it's kind of fun to see this team really seeming to try to put something together. So I've decided to make an extremely outlandish prediction and say that Shohei Ohtani,
yeah,
new exciting Angel, will win Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
AL Cy Young,
mm-hmm,
and AL MVP.
Could you imagine? I'm gonna go ahead and take my mental vacation to the timeline in which that occurs.
Right, because that would just be so incredible. And since it doesn't, I can predict anything I want right now. Like, why not pick the coolest possible outcome?
And manager of the year, why not?
Yeah, sure, you know. Yeah.
Like, Socha just gives it to him. He's like, sure, this is yours.
Yeah, just, it really was your true leadership that got us to the World Series. So thank you, Shohei. You really deserve this. He will not win World Series MVP, though. That'll be Mike Trout.
Really?
That'll be Mike Trout.
So he wins every award there is to win, but not the World Series.
Yeah. You gotta spread.
Did they
out
even make the
World?
Oh, you said Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an insane one.
Here, I know. Come on. Yeah.
I will give you one of mine. Here's one of mine. So as I mentioned in the open of the show, it has been a cold, hot stove. We're still awaiting some action after the trade bonanza of Giancarlo Stanton and the Ohtani signing. But I think a knock-along effect of the cold hot stove is that there will be a major free agent who will sign after opening day.
Ooh, that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, how
and
about that?
Semi-realistic.
Because, like, I think that, yeah, you know, there's, like, a lot of guys out there that I think the teams are being very patient, and I think the players are certainly being very patient, and I think it would not be surprising if, because of sort of the delay of the start of the hot stove season, if it extends a little bit into the regular season.
Well, yeah. so how big are we talking? Are we talking like Pedro Alvarez, or
are we talking like Yu Darvish?
I would say not Yu Darvish, but like one tier down.
Okay.
Or even like an Eric Hosmer. I don't know. Oh. I could see somebody like that. Wow. Like,
is this going to be like a Joe Maddon surprise signs Dexter Fowler situation? Like opening day, he's just going to be there.
I'm thinking that would be great. Wouldn't that be great? Like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Sesto's Family Barbecue wrote a post for us about what if we just didn't know any of the hot stove moves, and then just all of a sudden, like opening day rolls around, and it's like, wait, Otani's on the Angels. This is great. We should do that. But that would be like essentially what this would be.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'd like that.
I mean, is it going to be the Red Sox?
It's not going to be the Red Sox. Claire, do you have a? They already spent all their money on Virgil van Dijk. Claire, do you have any other outlandish predictions?
So, this one, I've got a few more, but this one, because you were hassling me over the Padres, Dinelson Lamet is going to finish top five in the Cy Young. Now, I get it, you're worried that he's only got two pitches, but that slider is so good, and with the continued endless bullpenization, I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern. Yes, he's only going to go 5 to 6 innings per outing, but they are going to be 5 to 6 of the most dominant, beautiful innings you can watch as the Padres rise in the NL West. I did. I am a little concerned. I thought they were going to get Cozart. I thought they were going to get Otani. I think they might end up with Hosmer still. But Dinelson Lamet, just wait.
Yeah, buried in that was him saying that he thought the Padres were going to get Otani.
A lot of people thought the Padres were going to get Otani.
Okay.
They got, in Bachelor speak, they got the one-on-one date, okay?
There is a post that did not go live. I wrote it Thursday night about why the Padres are so exciting and really good fit for Otani and why he might choose them and how that might transform the team. And then when I was arguing with Dakota the next morning on, like, should we run this? And he said, this is crazy. That's when the news came out that Otani signed with the Angels.
That is true. That is a true story, everyone.
I mean, I do think it was, like, a little bit on the side of unrealistic that he would go to the Padres, but I don't think people who thought that were conjuring that up out of nowhere.
I think it was, like, a favor to a friend of a friend. That's kind of what I thought. Like, and look, this is not knocking the Padres.
No.
I agree that they have a lot of really exciting young talent. Obviously, one of the most beautiful stadiums in baseball. But if you could pick any of the 30 Major League Baseball teams, I think, again, we all overthought this. The answer was, I want to play with Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, I really actually think that was his logic.
So, like, you know, no other team can offer that. So, Gemma, do you have another one? Give me one more.
Okay, I do. I have a really silly one, and then I have one that's, like, still completely not going to happen, but it is a little bit less silly.
Let's do both.
Okay, the slightly less silly one is that Ichiro is going to sign another deal
with
Seattle. He's going back to Seattle.
All right.
He's going to play till he's 50 in Seattle. That's where he's going to end his career. But he's also going to have a career year, maybe in 2019, because I want him to win an MVP, but he can't if Shohei Ohtani wins it in the AL in 2018.
I see.
Yeah. So that is maybe the more unrealistic thing, but I do actually think that Ichiro will play somewhere next year.
I mean, you could just make an MVP award and give it to him.
Like, I haven't done that. Come on.
That's true. I don't know what I was thinking.
My other one is way more insane, and it involves mascots.
Okay.
So I'm pretty into history. I read this book about pirates in December, and also I've been looking at a lot of mascot photos over the past two
days.
You
have, it's true.
So I think that there's going to be, we've talked about this before, like season-long storylines for the mascots.
Yeah.
In the pod, and I think this year the pirate parrot is going to form a pirate republic on the Allegheny River.
Okay.
And other mascots are going to join him in their in their quest for freedom. From
all bird mascots?
All bird mascots, okay. And DJ Kitty, too, because DJ Kitty seems like DJ Kitty would be into that.
I feel like DJ Kitty's kind of apolitical.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. DJ Kitty just wants to have a good time, and that's what the pirates are going
like
to do.
He's like the pitbull of mascots.
Yeah, he's a DJ.
He is. Yeah.
So he's going to go DJ the pirate party on the boat in the river.
Okay, that would be cool.
Great.
Be
and then Lucille is going to be kind of, like, the opposing number and try to, like, fight the pirates. He's going to lead that crusade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in on it. Why not? Let's do it. You know, I'm always in favor of like weird season-long story arcs.
I know,
so
that would be
I'm here
fun.
For it.
Yes.
I'll give you one more of mine, and then we can move on to the next thing. Actually, I'll give you two.
All right, let's hear them.
Josh Donaldson will play in the postseason.
I like that.
I'm not going to say which team he will be playing for, but he will be playing in the postseason.
I like that.
And the Yankees and the Red Sox, I'm just kidding, this is all AL East prediction here. Yankees and the Red Sox will play a game 163.
Oh,
wow.
I like yours. I like yours because they just ratchet up the tension really well.
Yeah, I think those are going to happen.
Yeah.
I think those are going to happen. If there is a game 163, you all owe me money. I think that's how this works.
I will give you $1.
And then I'll be banned
American
from baseball.
Dollar.
You can't do that.
I'll give you my Canadian money that I forgot to exchange.
Great. Yeah. Claire, what were you going to say?
Well, is game 163 going to be determining a playoff spot, or is it going to be like a testimonial for, I don't know, Pedro Martinez? I can't think of who would get a testimonial because like, the only player I feel like who's played long enough for those teams, I don't want to retire, so I don't want to put that thought into the world.
Who?
Well, like Dustin Pedroia could get a testimonial, or CeCe Sabathia could get a testimonial, and I don't want them to retire or leave the team.
For those of you who do not know, a testimonial is something that I think this isn't only a soccer thing. So our listener Ezra, who wrote in to complain
about
too much soccer, apologies to you, Ezra. But so there's this thing where like players who have played with soccer teams for a long time sometimes get what's called a testimonial, or a bunch of players from their past come and play like a charity soccer game with them. It's very weird. And so Claire has decided to adapt that into Major League Baseball. It's not a bad idea. But no, I was thinking like a real game 163, real playoff.
Oh man, that would be that would be so intense.
We should just have to make you a really good trade in our fantasy league.
Yeah, you do have to. You have to give me Mike Trout. That's the prize. Okay, let us move on, though. Enough of these silly predictions. Enough Nostradamus talk. Enough of that. We didn't even do it in rhyming couplets, so what's the point?
Yeah, I know. Why even bother?
Why even bother? I have another question for you guys related to the offseason. Who's having the most fun offseason? We see these players are Instagramming and tweeting and my-facing.
Come on. And you're not that old.
And they're from all around the world on their vacations or sometimes staycations. Who do you think is having the best time? Gemma, what do you think?
I mean, it seems like everyone's having a really good time.
Yes, it does.
Marcus Stroman is in Dubai hanging out. Hyunjin Ryu got engaged.
He didn't dab in Dubai.
As far as we know. He just
That's true.
Chronicle it. Steven Matz got married. That seemed fun. I don't know.
Yes.
People are having a great time. Sean Doolittle, we'll talk about it later, but he saw Star Wars, which
he
is obviously dope
Wars.
For him especially. But I mean, I was looking through some of the things he'd written and I was like, you know what? There are two people who seem to be having an extremely relaxing offseason, which I like.
Who?
One is, of course, Bartolo Colon, who just Facebooked a 5-minute video of him feeding pigeons. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's great. Very calm. Just go feed some pigeons outside. And Mark Melancon, who's holding a sheep like a baby and just hanging out with it.
I was going to talk about that, too. That seems like a very nice offseason.
Yeah. That picture just filled me with so much joy because the sheep looks really happy. He is cradling it, which is sweet. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's really soft.
It was in New Zealand, which is a famously beautiful country.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, it seems like so many players are just in warm locations.
They are in warm locations.
Noah Syndergaard tweeted something a little bit. Maybe it was today, maybe it was yesterday, all the days together. But he was like, oh, I'm playing catch on a beach in 70-degree weather. And I was like, it's 19 degrees here and I hate you.
Yeah, it was snowing in Florida today. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's snowing in Florida.
Yeah, we're in the midst of the polar vortex / it's about to become the bomb cyclone or whatever.
Yeah, bomb cyclone. Can we talk for a second? We need to get Mike Trout on the podcast to explain this because there have been like multiple weather events that they just keep ratcheting up the like action hero.
I know.
There was polar vortex. Now it's bomb cyclone. Like, come on.
Seriously.
Get some meteorologists.
What is this, a Liam Neeson movie? I can't handle
that's
this.
That's right. Claire, who do you think is having the most fun offseason?
I do want to say earlier today on MLB Network Radio, Jim Cantore said he's been talking to Mike Trout all week and quote, he's so excited about the storm right now, he's been blowing up my phone, which I just think is amazing that Mike Trout is just like sitting around being like, yo, Jim, you watching the same thing I am? Get that Doppler out, baby!
He needs to go on the Weather Channel again.
Is Mike Trout in New Jersey right now?
Yeah, I think so. Because he always tweets like, he'll tweet like photos of his like Weather Channel app, and it'll say like Millville, and he'll be like, "Look at look how cold it is."
Wow, so he'll be right in the bomb cyclone.
Yeah, this is the best. We talk about this probably on every episode because this is the greatest interest of any Major League Baseball player.
Well, the fact is, not like if you said to someone like my interest is weather, everyone would be like, that's so boring. But he's actually so into it that it becomes
yes, he cares. Yes. And he knows about the science. It's like not just like, oh, I like when it's cold out. It's like he'll talk about like the clouds and stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry to totally derail your point there, Claire.
Is he having the best offseason though, Claire? Talking about the weather? Who is?
Wade Davis is, and here's why. It has very little to do with this contract. If it does have anything to do with this contract, it's strictly because he is finally the top Wade Davis when you search his name on Google. For a long time, it was the like explorer and anthropologist Wade Davis.
Nonsense.
And I can't say for sure that it's after the contract, but I have every couple of months searched Wade Davis and been like, how is he still not the top Wade Davis in Google? So as someone who for a long time, when you searched his name, a dentist that was indicted for using paper clips in his dental surgery, dentist Michael Clare from Massachusetts, I know how important it is for the Google search results to update. So I'm very happy for Wade Davis, and I'm sure he's just sitting at home going, I'm going to Colorado, but I'm number one in Google.
Great.
That's really important.
I like that you've checked on this. it occurs to you every couple months, oh, I should Google Wade Davis again just to see.
It's not going to surprise you when I say I've wanted to do a post. Is this Explorer Wade Davis or Wade Davis the baseball player? But I still don't know anything about Explorer Wade Davis.
Well, somebody needs to write a post about Explorer Wade Davis.
I've never clicked on the first Google result for so long.
Well, it just gets so boring once you're like, well, this isn't baseball at all. This is just, oh, he discovered a new island or something.
So my answer to this question of who's having the most fun offseason, my first answer was Aaron Judge because he now gets to play with Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the most fun offseason. But that seemed a little glib.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to come off as glib. You know that, Gemma, better than anybody.
Yep.
And so I decided to answer Citi Field because it hosted a hockey game. How much fun is that to play another sport in a different stadium? Outdoor hockey is super fun. It was really cold.
Really cold.
Extremely cold, which is really better than cold. When it's weirdly warm for those weird NHL outdoor games. You know, that's,
I mean, I'm sure it's better for the ice.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's better for the players too. Like,
I don't know about that.
I mean, they're moving around, so I'm sure that's good for them. But like,
it was super cool though. It was the Buffalo Sabres and the New York Rangers.
I mean, it always looks really cool. The Winter Classic is one of my favorite things,
and it looks so much better at baseball stadium. Look, this is not just a Homer thing. Like, literally every time they play at a baseball stadium, it looks so much better than any other outdoor field. Fenway Park, Wrigley Field. I think they did one at Citizens one year, maybe. Maybe I'm hallucinating that. Yeah, Yankee Stadium. Yeah. It's always great, and this was really great too. And Citi Field's such a lovely stadium. So Citi Field is having the most fun offseason.
I strongly disagree with you, Dakota. I think the event looked great. I think it was awesome. But as anyone who has ever hosted a party knows, when you host the party, you are having the worst time.
Oh.
You have to worry about, oh, do we have enough food? Oh, is someone throwing up in my potted plants? Like, so when you're hosting it, you don't get to have any of the fun. So Citi Field, I think, had everyone there had a great time. We loved the photos, but I think Citi Field actually, if Citi Field was an anthropomorphic creature,
I think it
would have like sad, tired eyes at the end of it.
The stadiums are anthropomorphic. As we know, Shea Stadium had its name retired, number retired, something like that. It's on the wall at Citi Field. So they are real. That's actually a good point. I didn't even think about that. That's true. It is harder to host the party than to go to the party. But
yeah, it's true, for sure.
I still think it's fun. Gemma hosts a lot of parties.
I
so
do host parties.
Know. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. It's never too early to start prepping for your 2018 fantasy draft. It is too early for me, but I also lose every year in fantasy baseball. So I would probably listen to Fantasy 411 instead of me for your fantasy advice. Listening to the 411 with Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you an edge no matter what format you play. They'll break down the latest hot stove news all offseason, including how to value old faces in new places like Marcell Ozuna, Zach Cozart, and Evan Longoria. That happened while we were gone.
It did.
Draft time will be here before you know it, so subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on Apple Podcasts today. Go to Apple Podcasts, type in Fantasy 411, click subscribe, and then win your fantasy league.
Yeah, you should do all of that.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper is a baseball player who has a lot of fantasy value, as is Chris Bryant. Isn't this a really good segue?
They both have tremendous fantasy value. I can't believe you didn't go with the party hosting segue, which we had.
You know, there's no. Yeah, okay, here we go. Hang on. Here we go. Hey, Gemma.
What's up?
Do you know who else is having a really good offseason?
Who else?
That would be Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant. Bryce Harper hosted a game night with Chris Bryant and his wife, which it should be noted, they're like longtime friends. They go way back in Vegas baseball circles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're friends. And they had this game night. The Bryants obviously dominated. No offense to Bryce, but, you know, rings, right? So
I'm just
saying.
Oh wow.
So my question to the two of you is, we are actually, this is real, we are planning a Cut Four game night this coming weekend. What is your favorite party game or board game? They played a game called Rollick. I don't know what that is.
It seemed to be some kind of charades game.
Yeah,
because they were acting things out. And also Chris Bryant's wife, Jess, she seemed to be really good at it.
She did seem
like really good.
I wonder if she's like an actor.
Oh, that's possible.
Right? That seems kind of possible.
Yes.
But at any rate, Claire, what is your favorite party game or board game?
Pandemic, baby.
What is Pandemic?
makes me anxious.
This game does make me anxious because it's basic. So it's one of those cooperative ones, which I really love the idea of these. I don't know if they've been around for a long time. They seem new, but maybe just because, like, they're breaking into pop culture or just normal culture. But basically, like, there is a new disease that is spreading throughout the world, and you and everyone playing, like, you might be a doctor, and so you're trying to do your doctor stuff. I've only played twice. I don't really understand it, but I love it. And it's the kind of game, like, when I do go to someone's house that has it and there's, like, a couple of us around, I'll be like, oh, yeah, what do you guys want to do? Like, oh, there's pandemic over there. Like, I don't know. Like, you guys want to play it or whatever. I mean, I'm whatever you know. But yeah, you have to stop the disease from, like, spreading all across the world. And they just came out with a new one. This one I haven't played, but the disease has taken over the world, and you are trying to fight back before humanity's completely wiped out. But it's very scary. As someone who, every time I have a cough, I'm like, well, that's it. I'm dying. I got to get my will together. I do get very anxious throughout the playing of the game.
That is not surprising. Is this the game where you write on the game board and it changes permanently?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, never mind. Ignore me. Cool. I'm hallucinating. I must have caught whatever pandemic Claire created.
I like cooperative games like that, too.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah. Gemma, what's your favorite party game?
I love board games. I love board games so much. When I was home, I was back in Michigan for the holidays, and I had a game night with some of my old high school friends, because that's what we used to do in high school, like, all the time.
Right.
We played this game that I can't remember the name of, but it's, like, Telephone plus Pictionary. So you get, like, a secret word, and you have to draw it, and then you pass it to your left, and they look at the picture, and then they write a word, and then the next person sees the word that they wrote, and it goes all the way around.
Is this, like, an actual, like, official game, or is this, like...
It's a game. It came in, like, a box, and it had erasable pads and stuff.
Okay.
But it was really, really fun, because depending on how good you are at drawing, or at least writing out visual puzzles, it can get really bizarre. Like, we got from crayons to furnace.
Oh, weird.
And one of them was, like, my friend Josh, who's sitting next to me, is great at drawing little weird cartoons. So, like, we had monster for one, but his monster was so specific that people were guessing, like, specific monsters and animals all the way through. But it was great. It was really fun. I like that for a party game, just because everyone gets to participate a lot. We also played this game on our phones where you get to make up lies as answers to trivia questions. And you get points if people pick your lie.
Oh, is that Balderdash? I love that.
It's not
game.
Balderdash. Oh. It's like, do you remember the game You Don't Know Jack?
Yeah.
It's the same people. So they ask you a trivia question.
I loved that.
Yeah,
game.
It's really fun. And you fill in the blank, and then you type in an answer, and everyone has to, like, pick one. The real answer is up there, too, but you have to try to trick people, which I love. And I made up a bunch of really insane answers. But of course, you may guess that I'm a big Trivial Pursuit person.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. That reminds me, I played Trivial Pursuit with my family over the wintertime holidays.
How'd you do?
I lost the first two games, won the last game. However, I did get a question that was asked of me.
Uh-huh.
It was, which recently retired baseball player has the nickname Big Poppy?
Wow!
And I was like, this question was written specifically for me.
Wow, what a good question.
I know. Everybody knows it's Alex Rodriguez. So went on to win.
Did the question have a second part that was, and this player also hit a grand slam in the postseason that turned the tides against Gemma's favorite team, the Tigers.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I can't totally believe forgot about that, Claire.
You brought that up, Claire, wow. too. You did this. You, allegedly not a Red Sox fan. Ugh, whatever.
Despite being from Boston.
I know.
Let's remember that.
Yeah.
I'd say my favorite party slash board game, love Settlers.
Settlers is really fun.
Always great. I bought Bananagrams recently. Love that. That's a good hot stove game for you. Just so you can spell out as many baseball player names
as possible.
That would
be fun.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the best game, as we all know, is a game that comedian Demetri Martin once referred to as the game which tells you which of your friends is a huge jerk. And that is, of course, Monopoly.
Monopoly is not a good game.
It's the best game.
No.
It reveals people's inner personalities better than any other thing in the world.
I think liking Monopoly is already a big reveal.
Yeah.
That's right it is. All right, but let me ask you this, because Claire is actually an expert in a special genre of board games, and that is baseball board games. We all know about Stratomatic or APBA, things like that, but are there any baseball themed board games out there that we should know about, Michael, Claire?
So that's actually a great question, and fitting. Last night, I'm in a 1948 Stratomatic League right now. We had our stadium draft last night, where my team is in St. Louis's Sportsman Park, and this weekend I don't know anything about 1948 baseball. I'm reading David Halberstam's book on 1949 to try and know who the people are and their personalities. So it's gonna be tough. But there are some super exciting ones. There is one that I've played. It uses 1800s baseball rules, so the mound is closer and you get six balls, and so it's just kind of fun because unless you are in a vintage baseball league, and not everywhere has them, chances are you have not seen how baseball kind of plays with 1800s rules. So this one uses that, which is pretty interesting. There are a few other really interesting ones. A new one that just came out is called Fantasy Baseball. It is, you basically build your team using fantasy characters. So, you have an orc at first base and, a ghoulish wizard as your starting pitcher. I've played it once. I still have it. I'm going to come back to it because I find the concept so intriguing. But you basically play a full season, and every game, there's six games in it, and each game represents a month. So the gameplay was a little confusing the first time, and that's why I need to come back to it. But the mere fact that I can have a ghoulish wizard on my team, super fun. There is another one, I haven't played it. It's called Skittles Baseball, but it has the dude from Get Smart on the box. That 1960s or 70s comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Show. Yeah, we know Get Smart.
He's on the box for some reason. It's called Skittle Baseball, 1971, and it says, the tagline on the box is, now this is how you throw the high hard one. I don't know. There's another one called Pennant Race, which I really want to play because, again, most baseball board games are, you play a game. The mechanics are all about, play to win one game. But Pennant Race is you're trying to play across the full season.
Yeah, I'd like that, I think.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
There's Brett Ball. George Brett got a game. I think Pete Rose got a game. I think Babe Ruth had it. A lot of famous players have put their names on games. But the one I just stumbled upon today, and I really want to hunt it down now, is called Who's On First. And it's based on the comedy sketch. So the whole point of the game is trying to guess who's on first. And all the images for the players are because tomorrow, today, what, you know, so I feel like it's half baseball and half guess who, which I think is a genius. Whoever came up with that, they need to, you know, come out with it again, because we all clearly need to play this game.
That sounds really weird and fun, actually.
Wait, it looks super weird.
Wait, but Claire, who's on first?
Well, that's why you gotta play the game. If we were doing a Kickstarter for this, if this is our idea, that's obviously how it is, how our little video would end.
Well, we definitely need to find some of these games.
I want to play Fantasy Baseball.
We need to play it at the, not this coming, but the next Cup 4 board game night.
It does kind of sound like half our podcast, though. Like, what if random fictional character was a baseball player?
How dare you? How dare you impugn the integrity of our podcast? let us move on and let us discuss what you've all been waiting for. Sean Doolittle wrote a review of Star Wars The Last Jedi on Cut 4, and I'm going to read to you, I think this is kind of the key of the whole article, this little bit that I pulled out. He spoke with our own Adrian Garrow, and it's really great. I can't recommend that you go read it enough, especially if you saw the movie and just want to hear some more opinions about it. Because I know that personally, like, I walked out of the theater. Nobody else I knew had seen it yet, because I'm friends with a bunch of losers, Gemma.
I eventually saw it, okay? Just because, and I have a tradition of seeing it with my family.
I really wanted to talk about it with people. So if you were like me, go read this Sean Doolittle review. Here's what he says. People have to remember, this is a transitional film. A lot of people didn't like The Empire Strikes Back when it first came out because there was the big reveal and it left with Han still frozen. We found out about Luke's father. He gets his arm chopped off and thrown down a garbage chute. And people were like, wait, we waited 3 years for this? So it's not the first time that it hasn't been officially well received. I think it's going to get better with time. Gemma and I saw it. Claire actually hasn't seen it yet, so we'll be somewhat spoiler-free.
Yeah.
Gemma, what did you think? Do you agree with Sean Doolittle's assessment of the film?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I also liked it a lot. Like, yes. When I came out of that movie, I was like, this is one of the Star Wars, this immediately, like, shot up there in my rankings of Star Wars movies that I really, really enjoy. Mostly because I think that the themes really resonated with me. Like, I do think that there was some dead weight in terms of plotting, and, like, the dialogue wasn't necessarily as snappy as The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. But that's fine and whatever, but mostly I was so pleased that it took risks, that it really took a risk and tried to say something real, a lot of things that were real. And as opposed to just saying, like, let's continue the story in the universe where we kind of already know that good will triumph over evil or whatever, there are real problems that these people face, and I thought that was really exciting, and I loved it a lot. I loved it a lot because I thought that... consequences are important.
Consequences are important.
To not say anything spoiler, I know, which is why everything I'm saying is so vague. But one thing I liked from Sean Doolittle's conversation with Adrian on our site was that he said, we want to think of our heroes as good people, and we see in this movie that they have flaws, and I thought that was very, very important.
Yeah, that's sort of, for me, I've seen it now 3 times, and I have a lot of takeaways, but I think the big one is that, like, there is this division, as Sean Doolittle states in his article, between, like, there are some fans who love it, like he did, like we did, and uh-huh. there's some who feel really, like, offended by this movie, and I think that, like, people were expecting a Star Wars movie that was just sort of a movie. Like, they were expecting essentially the same sorts of questions that had been asked in Star Wars past and resolutions to those questions. And what I liked was that this movie, to me, expanded beyond the realm of what we thought Star Wars mm-hmm. was. And, you know, it was essentially the filmmaker Rian Johnson saying, like, you know what, all that stuff that you cared about, forget that. Like, you understand all of these basic, like, good versus evil.
Yeah.
And, like, you get all that because you're alive in 2017 at the time, now 2018. Mm-hmm. And, like, I want to actually look at these other things. And it's chocked full. And I think if there's one thing that, like, I would criticize, it's that it's almost trying to say too much.
Yeah.
Because there are about 500 different major themes in this movie that you could draw on. And that all have little threads that are worth exploring really in depth in a way that they didn't get to do in the film. But I also think, like, it was exciting to see this all done in like a major blockbuster film. I thought it was really brilliant. I'm really glad that Shawn Doolittle took time to talk to us about
it. I know. And, I love how much he loves it.
I do too. It's now on a bucket list to watch Star Wars with Shawn Doolittle.
Wow, that would be really fun.
It'd be like the best.
Yeah.
I just can't believe Rian Johnson revealed that Luke Skywalker is a ghost the whole time in the whole series.
Yeah.
Like, that blew my mind.
Yeah, mine too, Claire. You should go see the movie.
Yeah, maybe you should see the movie,
I think
Claire.
You should see the movie.
I think you should watch it.
I wanted to, and then things got busy. Is everybody still vaguely British, despite the fact that we're in this, like, cosmos-spanning?
No.
Everybody's either, like, a little bear or a vaguely British.
Have you ever heard Carrie Fisher talk, ever?
Well, she does in the first movie. Start the movie with a British accent and
totally
then drop
gone.
It.
No, it's yeah. gone. Yeah.
But no, it's just the Empire / First Order people are British. That's really all
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, I got to shout out Rose, who I love now.
Got to shout out Rose.
And Porgs.
Yeah, the Porgs are fun.
I know you don't care, but I think they're cute. And
Yeah, we're the Star Wars podcast.
Yeah,
now.
It is.
You
I'm
should go.
Talking about Porgs playing soccer.
They should play
Sorry,
baseball.
Ezra.
there are enough of them. What?
Is there a Porgins, a Porg Porkins?
There is not. If you're not an enormous Star Wars nerd, you may not know that there is a gentleman who flies an X-Wing in the original Star Wars movie named Porkins. There's clearly his favorite X-Wing pilot.
He's a busy boy named Porkins.
So thanks to Shawn Doolittle for writing that article. You should go check it out, MLB.com/cut4. But we are now out of time, which means it is time to summarize our podcast into 280 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one slightly larger than bite-sized chunk. Thanks, Twitter. Our last episode, we actually got a pretty good one that I want to read from friend of the pod, Tyler Molina at Tyler Juan Carlos. My MLB news team, Doolittle and his wife, Erin Dolan, as morning anchors, Altuve and Verlander as the night anchors, The Freeze as the weatherman,
That's
and
good.
Utley for storm coverage. And then he is a Mets fan, so he said some not nice things about Chase Utley. But that's neither here nor there. What is important is that I really like The Freeze as the weatherman.
Yeah.
And I do think Doolittle and Erin Dolan would be really good anchors.
Yeah, that would be really
fun. I think
fun.
That was really good.
I would enjoy it.
Claire, since, I don't know, for no reason at all, why don't you give me your tweet first?
This one's easy. Porkins is having the worst baseball offseason. No team will sign him. # who's on first, because that's probably where Porkins would play, because he's a big guy. He's thick with two C's.
This is why they shouldn't have given us so many characters, because I assume you tweeted that entire thing, just like figuring it out within the tweet.
That was insane. You're muted. Gemma, what do you got?
All right. 2019 predictions.
Yeah.
Best offseason goes to at What Would Do Do, who shoots his cameo in the final Star Wars film and completely dominates game night with Bryce Harper and the Bryants.
Wow.
I don't even know if that fits in 280, Gemma.
I think it does.
I think it does. 280 is way longer than you all think it is. That was a good tweet. I like that tweet. It was long, and as you know, I don't read any tweets over 140 characters.
Yeah, but
that
it's about Star Wars, so you would.
Well, yeah.
Best part of that tweet, though, is you said there's going to be a final Star Wars, so it's also factually incorrect.
The final one of this particular trilogy.
Of this trilogy.
They'll never let it die.
Well,
we'll
right.
Star
but
Wars
of this
forever.
Trilogy, there's only three.
And thank God for it, too. All right, here's my tweet. Here's a 2018 prediction for ya.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's spelled YA.
No.
Are you going to do Claire's hashtag at the end?
Yeah, and then colon. at Michael S. Claire will create the greatest baseball board game ever, / baseball on Tatooine, period. # Cut4Cast, # you will never see the last Star Wars, # spoiler, #
this is getting out of hand, Beefy Boys.
There you go.
Yeah, Beefy Boys!
# there you go is essential.
Yeah, all right. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately can answer our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with # Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones, like the slightly less good ones. ruthlessly mock the bad ones.
We're not mean.
We aren't mean. We'll read them on the Cut 4 podcast. That's what we'll do. You can go to MLB.com/Cut 4 and you can read all of the things we talked about today and many, many more. You can read our Hall of Fame cases for the various players who absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame, like Johnny Damon. You can go to Twitter @Cut 4. You can follow us. There you go to Facebook.com/Cut 4 and you can like our page and all of our articles, including said Hall of Fame cases, can appear in your news feed. We have an email address, cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Any questions you have, you know, if you want to complain about the amount of Star Wars in this episode of the Cut 4 Cast, you can send that email to dakotawillnotreadthis@mlb.com. This is a podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you get your podcasts. If you liked this podcast, why don't you go to Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. Type in Cut 4 Cast. Click the big subscribe button. Hey, you're there. How convenient would it be to just leave a rating or a review? 1 to 5 stars. If you actually do that, it helps other people find the show. Claire, thank you for coming onto the Cut 4 Cast this week.
Thank you guys so much for having me and including so much Porkins conversation.
Gemeline Kaneko.
Yep, my
Gem&M.
Yep. I'm from Detroit, so that is my real legal name.
Thank you as always for being here. Welcome to 2018.
You too, Dakota.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.